The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today, James and Betty reflect on their journey in ministry and their faithfulness to follow God's lead.
I want to just kind of talk to you about how God moved us in the direction that we were going. It was so obvious that God had put an anointing on my life. So it was not hard to know that when someone said, "We really feel led for you to come to our town, our county," and I would go in and I would just watch heaven come down, so to speak. Well, I'm James Robinson, Betty, and I welcome you to Life Today. This is going to be kind of an unusual week. You know, both of us are in our 80s. I have been married to this beautiful lady for 62 years, and we dated for 4 years. So that means we've been together 66 years. And if you wonder about us dating those 4 years, you don't have to wonder if this little beautiful, as I told her when I met her, the purest girl God ever made, stay that way. And don't ever compromise, even if I get where I'm not so holy. Well, believe me, you don't have to worry. She stayed so true, and what an example. And by the way, no matter where you've been or what decisions you made or mistakes you made, God is able to lift us beyond anything we ever did in our failures. But he's also able to give us strength. And he did definitely give this girl an abundance of strength to live with me for 62 years. And think about this now. I've been preaching 64, so I was preaching 2 years before we got married. And was it probably the biggest shock in your life and the biggest shock in everybody's life in our church that the shyest kid on the planet would be called to preach?
Absolutely. Neither one of us were expecting that, especially you, I'm sure. But when you, that I'll never forget that Friday night. It was so, so, so special. And you, I had saw to it that you were elected youth pastor because we had a youth meeting going on. And you, that meant you had to sit on the platform every night with the preacher. And you had to introduce him.
Yeah.
And that was not something you wanted to do. No. You were a little bit upset with me. Mm-hmm. You know, but
I had to sit there and listen to all of it, you know, and
you couldn't
I wasn't
get
just
up
all
and
excited about it.
But I just was so wrapped up in church. I'd been to church all my life, you know, and so involved in it. I wanted you to experience that with me. And so that's why I did that, just so you'll know. But God did something even greater.
I got to hearing so much of God's word through Daniel Vessel. He was 16 at the time. And he would quote entire chapters in the Bible. And it was just like conversation. And so I began to read, and something happened to me that week. God told me he wanted me to be an evangelist. Now, here's the thing. I was incredibly shy. But the moment I began to speak to any group of individuals, there would be a power and a presence on me that was far beyond me. And it actually carried me. It amazed me as much as it amazed the people that were listening and amazed the people that had known me. And what I want to do in this particular journey with you is move us into what would have to be the last part of our journey. If we live to be 100, we've lived 80% of our life. We've, you know, we've had a wonderful journey, and I pray we have many, many more years. And I pray that we share it together, sharing him and fulfilling his kingdom purpose. Because that's the reason we live. It's the reason he wants us all to live as believers and as his family. He wants us to live fulfilling his kingdom purpose in this kingdom. Because there'll be no enemy in the next one. There'll be nothing to overcome. No need to wear an armor. So if we're going to fulfill his commission, we do it now. And Betty and I are totally sold out to that. And we have seen his will done all over the world. And we believe that even greater than anything we've ever seen can take place now. What I'd like to do is get you to go on a journey with us to just see that when God started using me, it was so amazing because people would then invite me to come and speak in their church or even do a series of nights, which we called revivals, and they would be 8 days. But when I began to do them, the crowds would come before the church doors would even open. Sometimes they would be overflowing the church before the service started. And so we realized something significant was going on because there'd be so many people coming to Christ. But it was a very supernatural thing that people could see. I did hundreds and hundreds of crusades. And Betty, I actually was gone far more than I was at home. I got to ask you this. We had a child pretty early, just a little over a year after we married, but did you feel that I was being taken from you? What was going on in your mind when I'm going out preaching all the time?
Well, you know, actually, I was in awe watching God work in you. I didn't know. I just thought that was part of what God wanted you to do. And it was, you know, to go out and to share your heart. James, I can remember in preparation, and there is a preparation God puts us into, kind of like a training period. You were in a training period there for, I remember us on our dates, you said, would you help me memorize scripture? Because you didn't know really how to do that. And so we would on our dates, I would quote the scripture, tell him where it was, and he would quote it back to me just perfectly. And I just thought that was part of God's plan, to get his word deep down in James's heart so it would come alive when he shared. And boy, did it. But I still was in awe of what God, watching God work in you. And I just thought, all the desire I have is to be a good wife and to be a loving mother and to make a home for you to come home to. That's all I cared about.
Well, you did it, and it's still incredible. But now think about this. I've been preaching for 64 years. You know, we saw hundreds of thousands of people saved and even millions in our crusades, but not 10 million, which we saw many times in a year in our mission outreaches when God led me away from the crusade ministry full-time to actually go overseas and go to the third world. I want to just kind of talk to you about how God moved us in the direction that we were going. It was so obvious that God had put an anointing on my life. So it was not hard to know that when someone said, we really feel led for you to come to our town, our county, which many of the crusades were countywide, almost all of them were citywide, and I would go in and I would just watch heaven come down, so to speak. And so we kept doing this. And Betty, for 25 or 30 years, I did crusades. I was gone 250 to 300 days a year. We had Rhonda, and until she was school age, you could travel with me some. Mm-hmm. And our beautiful Rhonda, who would sing from the time she was 4 years old in our crusades, beautiful voice even now. But it was just a wonderful thing. And then when she had to go to school, things changed, and I didn't get to see you. And we were praying to have another baby, and, you know, we 5 years, and you had a condition called endometriosis, which makes it hard to get pregnant, but they say it helps you healthy if you get pregnant. So, you know, we were all in, but she never did. And so we prayed real hard, and we felt led to adopt, and we adopted our son, Randy. And I'm telling you what, when I came home from Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we'd just broken the attendance record for the Coliseum, Oral Roberts came in and sat on a step because nobody would give him their seat, even though he was trying to, you know, he was telling them he wouldn't take their seat. And he just sat down. Nobody could get him to move. But he had come to the last service, and he and I became unusually good friends. But I came home from that crusade, and you picked me up at Love Field. And I get in the car, and there's that little boy. And I remember you saying you were praying, God, please let him like him. Please let him like him.
I'm not giving him back anyway. You're going to have to get used to it.
Boy, I love that little boy. And our son Randy has got four children. He's got about to have his third grandchild. And it's just a beautiful thing. And then suddenly something happened. This baby we'd been trying to have, you found yourself pregnant.
I did.
When Randy was, what was he, about 3 years old?
He was three when Robin was born.
Well, what did you think about that when you were in the restaurant with us eating and you went to the bathroom?
Well,
it looked like you had
I was hemorrhaging a lot. I didn't know then that I was pregnant. I had not been to the doctor. Well, I had been to the doctor, but he didn't get to see me that day. And so I didn't know what was happening. So I did go to the doctor, and he said, you're very definitely pregnant. He said, I can't tell how far along you are because of all the hemorrhaging that you had. But he said, you seem to be healthy, so let's walk through this day by day. And we did. And then she came that next November, and God really blessed us. And I thought, what a double blessing. So we got our son. We already had a beautiful little girl. 5 years old when Randy came along, and now we had another little girl. So God, triple blessing.
He really did bless our family. And I want to just say to you, there's no question to have the kind of family relationship we had with me being gone way too much. And just to all the pressure that's on someone that is as visible as I was, we believe that your prayers helped our family stay healthy and strong, and helped us stay close to God and close to one another. So we want to thank you for loving us and loving our family. And now we have more than 30 grandchildren when you count all the great-grandchildren, and there are more coming. So it's pretty amazing to have, more than 30 grandchildren when you call the grand and the great-grands. I told my grands you were great too. So nothing but great-grandchildren. But it's been an amazing journey, it really has. But you know, something happened 35 years or so into ministry and crusades. God just suddenly, Betty, sent me to Africa. And Betty, it happened because of the power of prayer. And the places that I went, I believe you prayed us there. I believe that you praying for our family kept us so focused on His voice that when we heard Him, we moved. And after I had gone to South Africa, a missionary there asked me to go and see the starving of Africa. He said, you think you've seen poverty? I want to show you poverty. I want to show you helpless people. And he took me to Mozambique. And Betty, there in Mozambique, we saw thousands of people buried. We saw one graveyard, Betty, where the first time we saw it, there were 200 or 300 graves, and most of them were about like that. Mm-hmm. They were little babies and little children. Very young children, most of them under 3, all of them under 5. Betty, we went back there years later, and there was 10,000 or more buried. It was just unreal what the starvation was doing. And when I first went and saw it, if you remember, we were up in the northern part of Mozambique on the border of Malawi, and we were feeding hundreds and hundreds of little children, many of whom faced starvation. You and I sat down and we were talking, and a little boy, we gave people porridge, like soup, a real good heavy soup mix that was literally prepared by the medical and scientific community to meet the needs in that area. And they would bring tin cans, they'd bring whatever they could bring, sometimes a plastic bag that would burn a hole through and just break your heart. There it goes in the dirt. And they get down there digging it out of the dirt. This little boy walked up, had on a red shirt, and he was holding a cup. And I said, you look like you like that. Yeah. And is it really good? Yeah. And the minute he said that, I said, you are my little buddy from now on. And Betty, that little buddy gave me a picture of all the little children that were just waiting for somebody to give them a love gift of life by feeding them. And you heard our cry in behalf of the poor all over the third world. And we have been able, working with the missionaries, Betty, the thing that blessed us so much was, as surely as we were sent to the evangelism field in crusades, and as a family, we gave our lives to it. Well, these missionaries were sent by God, and they took their families and they planted themselves in the midst of that suffering. And when I saw that, I said, if we get the food here, they're not gonna leave them. And boy, they never did. We met the most amazing people. But I gotta go one step further. The missionaries that went there are amazing. They took their children, their families, and they planted their lives in the midst of death and suffering. They planted themselves in the middle of hell for heaven's sake. And boy, what a difference they made. And I mean, they were sent. So when we talked to you about helping, we knew that if we put the money in and we get the food there, we don't have to wonder if it's going to have oversight. that's been going on now for nearly 30 years, and it has been the most amazing thing to see. So, Betty, to all of our viewers, to all of you who are watching, you're the ones that made outreach on the mission field and the Crusades all over America and around the world. You made life possible by supporting Life Outreach, which was sharing life all over the world. And we have seen so many millions of people saved. And it's because not just the faithfulness of those missionaries, but your faithfulness. God, thank you from the bottom of our heart for everyone who's helped. I think you know how much we mean that. You became the miracle in people's lives. I've told you every day, if you listen to me, you can become the answer to somebody's prayer. And I've said to you something so many of you found to be true. If you want your prayers answered, seek to be an answer to somebody's prayers. Boy, is that a true statement. But you know what else you've done? You have given them the miracle of life. I want to thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. And I want to tell you that right now, we're in the last week of mission feeding 350,000 that right now are in place. We found them. They know that we're bringing food. How long we can keep bringing it depends upon you. Would you right now make the largest gift you can, please, to help us? I want you to listen to our son, Randy, to see the suffering and the pain, and watch how God touches his heart, and just know that you are the answer to the broken heart, to every prayer these mothers pray, to every need these starving children have. You're the answer. You are the miracle they pray for. And we, together, can be the healing factor.
We arrived in this village this morning. We came here to see a malnutrition clinic. We didn't know that we would watch them carry out this little boy, place him in this hole in the ground, and bury him. It's a hard reality, but in places like this, where food is scarce, where malnutrition runs rampant, graves of two-year-olds are not uncommon. We asked at the clinic what happened, and they told us that this child, a little boy about 2 years old, had been eating whatever they could find on the trees and on the ground because they had no real food to eat. And as a result of the malnutrition and the wild food, this little boy suffered diarrhea, no doubt dehydration, I would assume. And he died today because of malnutrition. As a father, now as a grandfather, but two grandsons, in this age range, not far. If someone could do something to save their lives, I would give anything. I'd do whatever it took. Save that child. There's others right now on the verge of death. So close. Will you save that child? Will you see that child for who he or she is? Which is the image of God. And will you say, as a follower of Christ, or maybe just as someone who cares about other people, I want to do something. I'll do what I can. You can't come all the way over here and save all the children, I understand. But we have people in place right now who just want your support. We shouldn't bury children like this. So please, do what God puts on your heart.
That could very well be another little buddy. I have no problem holding those little children, because I wrap my heart around every one of them. And I know you do, Betty.
Yeah, I do. I can never watch one of those spots without my heart being touched. And I pray right now that you will allow God to show you how much love He has put in your heart for these little ones, for these innocent ones. These mothers can't do anything else. They've given almost their lives for their children, finding things on the ground, James, anything to give them for nourishment. So please join with us. Let God show you what you can do to make the difference, because joining together, you help us expand this ministry so we can give more food to these precious little ones.
You know, Betty, we saw little children being buried in that cemetery that I referred to, where we saw them initially. You know, there was a few hundred and maybe 1,000, but we saw it go over 10,000. And we went back there years later, and we went to a church that was birthed out of it and a school that was birthed out of it, because we said we'll feed at school. And the school met at the church, and we met these kids that had been going there now for years, going to school. And they actually had clothes that were sent to them by people like you from all over the world, and that we had fed them until they were healthy. And they sang beautiful praise songs to Jesus. They were just so happy. And when we left, we went out, and the pastor was a little short guy, and he just thanked us about all that had happened because of what we had done, we together, and how these children were totally changed. And we left, I looked back, and he was crying. And I asked Peter Pretorius, I said, "Why do you think he's crying?" He said, "I don't know." And he told the driver to turn around and go back. And he turned around and went back and got out and walked over to the pastor and said, "We noticed you were crying when we left." And he said, "Well, Peter, I was crying because we knew that now that the Robinsons and their team had come and seen what's happened here and seen all these beautiful, healthy children, there would be no need to bring food anymore, come back." And the little children were actually crying because they said, "We won't have any more help." And I said, "Peter," and I got out and I walked over and I said, "We're never going to stop coming. We're going to continue to help these children grow up and help as many other like this all over Africa and all over the world." That's what you've done. Would you right now make the greatest gift you can this last week? Some of you have never given. Would you give life right now? Please. 30, 50, or 100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children. How about $1,000? Feed 100 children. Would you just do what you can, get your bank card, use it like a check. Amen. If you write a check, make it to life. And please call us, tell us what you're sending. You are truly giving life. And from the bottom of our heart, we say thank you.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation to help you live your best life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request your health and wellness bundle. This 3-book set includes natural remedies as well as essential fasting, a simple eating strategy to accelerate weight loss, crush cravings, and reverse aging, and the probiotic diet that gives effective strategies to improve digestion, boost brain health, and supercharge your immune system. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Hi, I'm Jordan Rubin, and for over 2 decades, my wife Nikki and I have been supporting the Ministries of Life. With any gift to Mission Feeding, you will transform the lives of 350,000 children in Africa by giving them nutritious food and a hope for the future. With your gift, you'll receive a powerful wellness bundle, which can bring the power of health and nutrition into your own home. Transform the lives of thousands and your own family. Do it today.
When we asked her about the food that she's eating, she said, well, we don't have much, but what I do have is maize and a bit of rice. But it's all she's been able to afford to buy for her children and herself. Not even enough. No real nutrients coming into their bodies. And that's why Florinda explained to us that some months back, her child got more and more sick. She described the conditions of what we know as malnutrition. And that she then took her child to the clinic. But before she could even get there, she lost her child. We were unfortunately too late to save Manuela, Florinda's 3-year-old child who died. But Mario's life is still here. We can still save Mario. If you'll open your hearts, we can do that today. Please dial that number on your screen or get online and give the very best gift that you can give today. Please give the gift of food. Give the gift of life.
Betty, I'm believing that we're going to see one of the greatest responses we've ever seen.
Amen.
If you get a busy when you call till you get through. Sometimes people are calling for prayer, many of them accepting Christ. But would you be determined to get through and say, here's my gift, it's coming?
Amen.
Please do. Don't miss the next program. We're going to show you how God expands vision to get his arms around the whole world that he gave his son to redeem. Don't miss it. Thank you so much.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. We are forever grateful to everyone who has joined us in our mission of providing water to the thirsty, food to the hungry, shelter to the orphan, and meeting the various needs of those who are struggling. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Become a Friend for Life partner with your recurring financial gifts. We'll send you our monthly newsletter, along with encouraging spiritual resources to uplift and inspire you in your daily Christian walk. Best of all, you'll be blessed to know that your ongoing gift is helping make possible the outreaches of life. Call now or go online to become a Friend for Life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time. Please. Call now.
And so I thought that was the extent of it until I met you.
Hear the beginning of James and Betty's kingdom impact and their continued legacy tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.